وسلمنا على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك توراة وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى آل محمد. May Allah تعالى make this majlis a majlis of ma'rifa, a majlis which remains an asset of ours in our graves and which helps us in the hereafter, inshaAllah. But it's been the days of Aza, of Abu Abdullah and Hussein, and day in, day out, we all gathered to shed some tears for Abu Abdullah and Hussein. And the tears that are shed for Abu Abdullah, they remain a kafara, an atonement for the wrong that we have done. By these tears that are shed for Abu Abdullah, the wrong that is in our system is removed. That is among the blessings that we have for these tears. They are a means of one's elevation in this world and in the hereafter. When we cry for Abu Abdullah and Hussein, it is a resemblance that we get with Ahlul Bayt. We resemble the Prophet, we resemble Hazrat Zahra alayhi salam. And we resemble Imam al-Asr alayhi salam, where he says that وَلَأَنْ فَلَأَنْدُبَنَّكَ سَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً, that when he cries for Abu Abdullah and Hussein twice a day, and he sheds blood, not tears like us. So it's tears of blood for the Aza of Abu Abdullah and Hussein he sheds. So in every aspect, it is that resemblance that we get with Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam as a result of crying for Abu Abdullah. And people who cry for Hussein, who associate and resemble Abu Abdullah and Hussein in this aspect, they are bought at a very lavish price in the hereafter. That is, someone who cries for Hussein, who has associated with Hussein, has accepted the teachings of Hussein, this person is not an ordinary person. The price of this individual is huge. And anything which is related to Hussein, it remains forever in the hereafter. Riwayat, this book called Kamil al-Ziyarat, it says that in the hereafter, after the Qiyamah, everything will perish. The land of Karbala, it will remain. As these antique pieces that we have, we keep as mark of decoration in our houses. Riwayat says that every part of Karbala, every thing related to Hussein, it will remain in the heavens forever because it is related to Hussein. And so are those who are related to Abu Abdullah with this communication that we have, interaction that we have by way of Azadari, by way of crying for Hussein ibn Ali. So it's a huge big blessing that Allah has given to us. Whatever has remained in this world today, whatever from the goodness. If goodness is known to be as goodness today, it's because of Hussein. Otherwise, Muawiyah had finished everything. So that good, which is known to be good, may that be among the Muslims, or may that be elsewhere, it's all because of Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. May Allah never take this great blessing that has been given to us. These tears that are shed for Abu Abdullah, may they remain. And our children and for generations to come, this message that was transferred to us, May we be able to deliver this message for generations to come, inshallah. One of the other tips and reminders that I had in mind to mention over here, it's this concept of salawats that we have ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Many a times you find that in centers it is wrongly, it's a small error that we have. Even over here it was noticed that when you want to ask the mu'mineen to recite a salawat, it is said that please recite a salawat. You don't have please in salawat. You don't say please. Allah says sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. See, it's a command. It's an instruction. He says you must say salawat. So please, it is irrelevant over here. We don't ask, we don't request for salawat. You have to, you must. Prophet Yusuf was in the prison and he had problems there. He wanted those problems to be eased. Says, communicates to Allah and says, Ilahi bihaqqi Ya'qub, by the right of my father Ya'qub, ease this problem that I am facing. Wahi is revealed that, Yusuf, why do you say that? By the right your father has on me, what right does he have? I gave him so many sons, one of them went missing. You cried so much, you stood and you sat in every place and you complained that I've lost my son. What right does your father have? And then the teaching to Prophet Yusuf was that if you have any haja, if you want any of your wish to be granted, say, Ilahi bihaqqi Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. That is this problem that I'm having. Grant this wish that I have. An old Jew, he comes to the Holy Prophet and says that, Ya Rasulullah, are you greater or is Prophet Musa more exalted? Because to Prophet Musa, Allah gave him that stick. To Prophet Musa, he gave Torah, which was revealed to Prophet Musa. To him, Allah gave a cloud which sheltered him all the time. Is he greater than you, or are you more exalted than Musa? In reply, Rasulullah says, I do not want to boast. But when Prophet Adam got stuck, when he wanted to repent, his repentance was how? Says, Allahumma inni as'aluka bihaqq Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad lamma ghafartali. Says, God, by Muhammad and his progeny, forgive me. Then he says, when Prophet Nuh and when that tufan, that storm, it came and the skies were pouring and all the land was flooded with water. And when Prophet Nuh saw all that water, he was afraid, he was scared. He says to Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka bihaqq Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad lamma anjaytani min al-gharaq.
Says,
God, by Muhammad and his progeny, help me from drowning. Says Prophet Ibrahim, when he saw that huge big fire and he was thrown into that fire, says, Allahumma inni as'aluka bihaqq Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad lamma anjaytani minha, that you protect me from this fire, O Lord. And then this says that when Musa, who you are comparing to me, when he was instructed to throw that stick so that those snakes could be caught, he was afraid. He immediately says, Allahumma inni as'aluka bihaqq Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad lamma anjaytani, that God, by Muhammad and his progeny, help me.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
And then that ayah was revealed, that la takhaf innaka antal a'la, that don't be afraid, you are great. So in every step, even the best of all the prophets, they seek assistance from Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. When we recite salawat upon Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, they don't benefit a lot, or they don't benefit anything from these salawat. We've got this Ziyarat Jama'at al-Kabira. There Ma'sum, he says that وَجَعَلَ سَلَوَاتِنَا عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَا خَسَّنَا بِهِ مِنْ وِلَايَتِكُمْ طِيبًا لِأَنفُسِنَا وَتَهَارَةً لَنَا. That is, when we recite these salawat upon the Prophet and his household, it is us that get purified. So those salawat are good for us. So we send salutations upon them. But in reality, we are getting purified. We are getting elevated. For that reason, this association with Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad is important. And we benefit from these salawats that are recited upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. You want to be patient? This concept of sabr, this beautiful quality of sabr, you want to adapt that and apply it onto yourself? Here Ma'asum says, recite salawat a lot and you will get to that patience. You want to get enlightened? Ma'asum says, recite salawat so that you get enlightened. To tranquility, says you want to be happy, you want to be comforted. Again, that is sought by the salawat ala Muhammad. A person who comes to our second Imam and says that Imam, now this is a hadith which is being quoted by him. Imam says that the heart that Allah has given to every individual, this heart is like a vessel, and this vessel has a lid on it. And that lid, it constantly needs to be lubricant, it needs to be in motion. And whenever you recite a salawat, what happens is that the lid of this heart, it opens, the heart, it becomes enlightened. And the moment you don't, it is just like that, it's closed, the lid is closed. And Imam says, recite these salawat so much that this lid of this heart, it's going to be constantly lubricant and your heart is constantly enlightened. And if these salutations upon him and his household are reduced or if they are not said, he says that this heart, this lid, it gets stuck, and that is when a person's heart is a dead heart. So in reality, according to this hadith of Ma'asum, that salawat does the job of that WD-40 to keep this lid of that heart constantly lubricant and in motion. Or elsewhere says that salutations of Allah and the angels and one who sends salawat says that whenever a majlis, a gathering wherein this salutation is recited, there are swarms of angels of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, they come and become part of this gathering wherein these salawat are recited, and they too send salutations upon us, and that salutation remains until the day of judgment. Muhammad, he says that when you recite salawat, it is so strong and it is so beneficial for the sins, that it removes the sins like pouring water on fire. How quickly it puts that fire off. Here he says that if you want to have those sins forgiven, have this association with him, and that is by the recitation of salawat ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Every dua that we have says that there is a barrier, there is a hindrance between us and Allah. Whether or not that dua will be accepted, we do not know. But the only dua which is always accepted, it's this recital of salawat. And that is why we are said that whenever you have a hajat, recite three salawats before it, recite three salawats after it, wrap it up in these salawats, and Allah just blindly accepts whatever you have. That is by this beautiful recital of salawat ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. One of the other beauties that we get from this salawat is that a person, he is enlightened, and also a beautiful fragrance is granted to this individual by this recital. Marhum Ayatullah Gulfaigani, from him it is reported that in his study circle, There was a person who possessed a very beautiful fragrance. So much so that many a times he used to come to the houses and he did not need to ring the doorbell. People knew that who was at the door by the beautiful fragrance that he possesses. Now a person, some of the students, they have that guts and courage, and they asked. One of them, he asks him that, we know that this beautiful fragrance that you have, it has nothing to do with these fragrances that we have in dunya. It is something which is given to you from the unseen. What is it? He says, now, in every community, you have people, some of them are remarkable, for example, in crying. Some of them are remarkable in dhikr. Some of them in reciting Quran. Some recite azkar a lot. Now this person, his beauty was that he used to recite salawat a lot. Now how many, we don't know. 1,000, 10,000 a day, we don't know. But he used to recite a lot of salawat, was known to be da'imus salawat. He says that once in a majlis, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was present. In the vision which he has, says, I saw the Prophet was seated in that majlis and a large number of people also present. Rasulullah, he posed a question. Says that, who among you recites the most number of salawat upon me? He said that I do recite, but there might be someone else who recites more than me. So I did not stand up. He asks the same question once again. With that same answer in my mind, he says, I sat down, I did not stand. For the third time, Rasulullah inquires, and with that same assumption, no answer, I was sitting. He says, this time Rasulullah, he stood, he came to me, kissed me, and as a result of that kiss, this fragrance was granted to me. So that is among the blessings that we have for the reciting of salawat ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. And whenever we get stuck, whenever we have a hajat, whenever we have a wish, by reciting a few hundred salawats, we can get those things sorted out. And this tongue of that Allah has given to us, it has to constantly remember Allah. It has to constantly remember the Prophet. And we can have a target every day that we have to recite a set number of salawat each day. Now one of the things which is easy for you living over here is that there are all these travel distances, half an hour, 40 minutes at least, that you take from your home to your work, from your home to schools, whatever. So that time, instead of doing nothing, listening or occupying yourselves with Blackberries and iPhones and iPads and what and what not, we can give it a break and recite a few salawats and measure the distance from home to work. It takes about 500 salawats. Measure. So that way, that way we have occupied the time in the best way, and something which benefits us, and that is the purification of our soul, and it is us who elevate, the value of ours increases. In one of the riwayat that we have, says that all of these salawat that we recite, or even in books, if you are writing notes, or if it's a marsiya, noha, whatever that you write, riwayat says that when you write after the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, for example, or after the name of Ma'asum, if you write alayhi salam, so long as that alayhi salam remains, as long as that sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam remains, you will be rewarded just for that writing. Nowadays it's so easy. On your computer you have all these symbols, just add that, insert that symbol after the name of the Prophet. As long as that document is alive, you will be rewarded. So all these beautiful small tips that we have from Ma'asumeen. And that says that on the day of judgment, Malik, who is the caretaker of the hell, and he will be assigning people where to go, that is to the heaven or to the hell. Instructions given to him are simple and clear. That is, whenever a person comes up and he places his a'mal, his actions on that scale of balance, that mizan. If it's heavy, he will be sent to the heaven. And if it is light, it is the hell. Says a person came there and he places his actions and they were weak. Based upon the instructions and the criteria he has, he was sent to the hell. Rasulullah says, stop. From his pocket, takes out an envelope, places it onto that scale, and it's heavy now. He says, okay, instructions are clear. Now that your a'mal are heavy, you end up in the heaven. And then he asks, that is Malik, asks the Prophet, what was that that you placed on that scale? Rasulullah says that all these salawats that are recited by every individual, every mu'min, they are saved in a special account, and that is before me, with me. And on the day of judgment, when you are in need, those salawats will be paid back to you. And that is that beautiful zikr that we have, that is the zikr of salawat ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad.
The topic that we have for these few days, it's the wasiyah that the Holy Prophet has to his companion Abu Zar. Once Abu Zar, this noble, loyal companion of the Holy Prophet, he comes to the mosque and sees that there is no one, it is the Prophet all alone. And he says that it's going to be a very good opportunity if I sit with him, if I talk to him. What we learn from here is that whenever you get a chance, whenever you get an opportunity, and you find someone noble and good from whom we can learn, we have to benefit from that person as much as we can. The noble, they say that if you were to travel for as much as 50 years, that is, if you had to wait for 50 years, or you had to travel for 50 years to get to someone from whom you can learn, we are said that do that. It's worth the journey of 50 years to get to someone to learn for a few days. Because that person who will educate you in a few days, he will just change everything in your system and get you to your destination in a blink of an eye. So it's worth. So here Abu Zar, he comes to the Prophet, sees no one, says that I'll benefit. I'll ask him, and he was happy that there is no disturbance, no second, third person to be there. And he says, Rasulullah is me, give me an advice. Rasulullah, he says that I will give you an advice, save it, keep it with you. It will benefit you in this world and in the hereafter. It's a very lengthy advice, and when Rasulullah starts talking to Abu Zar, it was until the morning, that is from that Aisha, until the morning for hours, Rasulullah was giving this beautiful advice. So some phrases of it, inshallah, will be recited over here. Here it says that مَنْ لَمْ يَأْتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِثَلَاثٍ فَقَدْ خَسَرٍ. Says Abu Zar, if someone does not possess these three qualities, on the day of judgment, he is going to be a loser. وَمَا الثَّلَاثٍ. Says, what are the three, Ya Rasulullah? He says, the first one is حِلْمٌ يَرُدُّ بِهِ جَهْلَ السَّفِيهِ. Hil means tolerance, that you have to have tolerance with which you can deal with those who are safi. Safi means insane. Insane doesn't mean that it has to have the meaning of a mad person all the time, because we don't have that many mad people. Insane, safi means someone. In every household you may find, in every community you may have people, dealing with them is tough, very difficult. So we need a lot of tolerance, a lot of hilm to deal and interact with these people. Rasulullah says, tolerance you have to possess. Then he says, khulqun yudari bihin nas, a character, an akhlaq, how you will be dealing with other members of the community. So hilm means tolerance. Tolerance is required. Now all this is a lesson to myself first. in dealing with every person in the community, in dealing with our wives, with our children. Children need it to deal with their parents. Husbands need it for their wives. Wives need it for their husbands. So every member, there is a lot of tolerance that is required. It shouldn't be as such that the husband, he comes and starts yelling at the wife because he's been away working all day. Or the wife does that. We can't do that. If it is the husband who's working for 8 hours, 10 hours a day, and we think that we are doing everything outside and she doesn't do anything at home, that is wrong. Because she also is doing much more than us. And that is why women, they tend to get worn out much quicker and faster than men, because they are working harder than men in reality. If she has a few children at home to look after, multiply those many hours that you were away by the number of children you have, plus the household duties, plus the kitchen, cooking, cleaning, everything. So it's one person multiplied by six. She has worked for that much time. And we have worked only for that amount of time, 8 hours or 10 hours, whatever it is outside the house. But when we come back, expectations are huge. And with the least questioning of hers from her side, it just flares and fire, and we burst into all these arguments, as a result of which this tolerance is lost. And there all these fights come into existence, all these disputes come into existence, and God forbid, and all the other balas that we have, which are part of this whole package. The result, the reason for all this, it's that lack of tolerance, that we don't tolerate each other. We have to educate tolerance to us, and for that many tips we find from Ma'asumeen. I'll just list a few which are based on the teachings of Ma'asumeen and verses of Quran as to how do we enhance all this temper that we have, the rage that we have, that we just burst into words, many a times into physical arguments or arguments at least, how those have to be under control. A program has to be designed by each one of us. Like we go to the doctors to get a program, to get a prescription, to get these things sorted, here we have to design the program ourselves. One of the things is that we have to have a lot of hope that the problem, this rage, this anger that is in me, it can be and it has to be corrected. Now all these teachings that we have from the Prophet to Abu Zar, from Amir al-Mu'mineen to his companions, all the wasaya that we have, the wills that we have from them, it is for us. It doesn't mean that we have to be someone from the alien, from the outside, from the world, so that those prescriptions be applied on us. No. Ayat of Quran were revealed to Rasulullah for the message to be conveyed to us. It means that we can be corrected. Rasulullah talks to Abu Zar for the message to be conveyed to us, means that we can be corrected. We are not stones, better than stones. If a stone can break and rivers and water can burst out of it, we are much better than stones. So that is possible, that we can be corrected, no matter where and how much have we crossed the age that Allah has given to us. So the first tip that we have is that we have to be hopeful that we will be overcoming this rage, and there is no need to rush. The teaching that our ulama and our mentors give, they say that we have to design a package for 1 year, at least 1 year. That is, start from this first of this year until the next year. If I have problems with my rage, with my tolerance, with my bursting into flares, arguments, etc., it needs a 1 year working on myself. And after that, you will find that I have improved a lot. Avoid being oversensitive. Be optimistic that others will treat you in a worse way as we've been treating them. So we have to be prepared for the worse. Although we are trying to improve ourselves, correct ourselves, but people, they will behave with us in a worse way. And that way, if they were better to us, we will have more hope. So that hope has to be there that we will get ourselves corrected. In addition to that, we have to have an agreement signed with ourselves that never to react in rage. Now, how do we do that? By swearing an oath, for example, that if I burst into an argument of words, or my rage, it was enhanced, I will observe a fast. Or I'll pay an X amount of sadaqah. So because money matters, when we start paying a lot of sadaqah, it's going to cost us. So that way we have to improve ourselves. Or by paying the sadaqah, we can train ourselves and we will find that maybe after a week or 2 weeks, if I burst in, or this temper was lost, or this tolerance was not observed, maybe in the first 2 weeks, the third or fourth week, we will find that it was much better than the first week when I had signed this agreement with myself. The other thing is that fun activities, they also enhance and increase one's ambition to be applied. It is by outing, mountain climbing, all these things, they help us in increasing this irada, this intention that we have. In decision making, we have to seek assistance of those who are intellectual, who are sincere and who could help us. Not just go to these people who help and then give you a big invoice after that. Go to someone who is sincere, who is spiritual, and it is said to us that when you want to be a friend, don't just be a friend of any person. Be a friend of someone who is muttaqi, someone who is spiritual, someone who is sincere, and by associating with him, you will find that the problems that we have in us, they also will be resolved, they will be removed. As much as it is possible, associate with people who are well-mannered, maintain a distance from people who are angry, who are hot-tempered, who are not mu'min, who are kafir, who are sinful, who do wrong, a total segregation or a big distance from them, and that also would help. Make a note of, have a progress chart, write down every day and notice the reduction of the temper and how we've been behaving in the last few days. The other thing which helps us a lot in this tolerance is that the ayat of Quran, ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, that it is by the remembrance of Allah one's heart is at rest. Among those things is this recitation of salawat ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Which helps a lot. A person, he comes to our fourth Imam, Sajjad alayhi salam, and swears at him. Imam doesn't reply. Ashab were present and they wanted to pay him back, this person who came and insulted the Imam. Imam said, just cool down. After a while, Imam goes to meet that person who had come and who had sweared at him. And on his way, he recites this ayah which says that لَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. By mentioning the qualities of the mu'mineen, that among the qualities that they have, it's they hold their rage, they don't burst into temper. Or when it comes to people, they forgive them. So people, and his ashab, they found out that Imam is going to forgive this person. Comes to his house, and that person was waiting that he's also going to have the same words which he had towards the Imam. Imam says to him that you spoke to me in that way. If what you mentioned was right, I ask Allah to forgive me. And if it was wrong, I ask Allah to forgive you. These were the words of the Imam. That person, he comes and kisses between the two eyes of the Imam and says, Imam, forgive me, I was wrong. So that is the tolerance that we find Ma'asumeen had by reminding ourselves with these issues of how Ma'asumeen they used to tolerate each other. Or in the early days after the Fath Makkah, Muslims, they were happy now that they are going back to their homes. And as they were kicked out, as they were killed and hurt by the kuffar, The slogan they had at that time was that Al-Yawm Yawmul Malhama. Today is the day of slaughter. Now it's our turn, we are going to kill them as they hurt us. Rasulullah, he changes the slogan, says Al-Yawm Yawmul Marhama. Today is the day of mercy. Al-Yawm A'azzallahu Quraishan. Today is the day when Allah honored Quraysh. So Rasulullah, with that mercy, with that tolerance, he changes everything. So tolerance is required. Here in this wasiyah, he says that the first thing that you need to possess, and if you do not, you will be a loser in the hereafter, it's this hilm, yaruddu bihi jahla safi, with which you can retaliate someone who is insane. That if someone is in rage and he comes across with you, if he is shouting at you, you be quiet. Not that if he is shouting, you also start shouting at him. That way, it's nothing is going to be solved. One of us has to be quiet. Ulama, they say that if you are hot-tempered and you want to pay him back in the same words as he was, sit down. If you are sitting down, stand up or have a cup of a glass of water, and that way you will be at ease. The Prophet, he says that one who corrects his akhlaq, Allah will grant him the rank of those who fast during the day, worship during the night, just for correcting ourselves. So that correction, it plays an important factor in our spiritual uplift. By this correction, or by this akhlaq, which is good, which we possess, says your rizq will be increased, your sustenance will increase. Many a times you find that people who are well-mannered, they never get stuck. They may not be very qualified, they may not be to the mark when you look into the measures that we have in this world, but because of their attitude, because of that akhlaq which they possess, Allah just changes everything for them because of that. Their good attitude. He is loved by everyone, and is everyone benefits from people who are well-mannered. So this is among some of the things that Rasulullah has mentioned regarding a person being well-mannered.